to the Parents Show on Radio Verum 92.6 FM.
And we're here to celebrate, yes, celebrate Father's Day. Now, Lydia and Kathy have given up the airwaves here at Radio Verum for the next 60 minutes. Why? Because this Sunday is a very special day. So for 1 week only, this is the show about dads, for dads and by dads. My name is Trevor Meriden.
And my name's Gary Buck.
And together we are two local dads and this is our show. Now I work on Radio Verulam on the Friday Focus show with John Stevenson and Gary. Tell us a bit about yourself. As well as being a dad of two, you're a talented local magician.
Well, some would say that. You'd have to ask the audience for a better opinion on that.
Yes, my son was one member of that audience, actually, and this is how Gary and I originally met, was that Gary was giving a show as an amateur magician, and my son liked it so much that he and a number of his friends went up onto the stage and pulled Gary's trousers down. And we've been firm friends ever since.
And you've been paying for my counselling ever since as well, yes.
Absolutely, but that's another story for another day, perhaps. Well, this is what we're going to be doing in the next hour. In the show tonight, we have Young Dads TV. Scott Colfer is here to explain what his website is trying to achieve, why it was set up, and the challenges facing young dads.
And a bit later on, we'll be doing a little bit of dib-dib-dobbing with local St Albans Cubs leader, Christoph Montoya-Timpley, who's going to be coming in to talk to us about what he does with the Scouts and the Cubs and why they need more mums and dads to help out with the movement.
Later on, we're talking about classic car shows, amongst a number of other things. It's a great day out on Father's Day, and we're going to be talking to the organiser of the classic car show at Nebworth, Andrew Greenwood. Plus more, what's on in the local area from Raring to Go's and Radio Verulam's very own Claire Healy. Plus, we also have a very special Father's Day nostalgia quiz. Now, can you match the top three dads films chosen by our expert panel, that's match of the day style, and placed in a golden envelope to be opened at the end of the show. We will play clips from the top three films of our choice, and you, the viewer, put them in the right order. The glittering prize is a free golf four-ball, that's difficult to say, courtesy of Simon Folbeck, manager of the Aldwickbury Golf Course. Now, if you want to get involved with the quiz, or if you want to just get in touch with your views on what we're talking about here on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM, phone us on 01727 839 926. Text us on 07903 100 100 and make sure you prefix your text message with the letters RV, then a space, and then your message, or email us on showforparents@gmail.com.
92.6 FM, the best kept secret in West Hearts. It's Radio Verulam.
Our first guest this evening is Scott Colfer, who is here to tell us about youngdads.tv. Welcome to the show, Scott.
Thank you very much.
Now, you've been working very closely with lots of young dads around, obviously, to set up the eponymous sort of website now. But why did you decide to launch it in the first place?
Well, I work for an organisation called Media for Development, and we've got a large background in using media like radio, such as this, and filming to reach and empower isolated communities. And we were working with the Sainsbury's Family Charitable Trust, who did some research which found that lots of young dads felt that existing services didn't really suit their needs. They felt a little bit excluded, and that sometimes, not maliciously so, or you know, for any other reason, but they felt as though they didn't really belong in these services that were set up and they're maybe geared towards mums a little more.
It's true, you don't really see young dads sort of mentioned very much. You see a lot of things about teenage pregnancies on the mother's side, but not so much on the dads, do you?
Most definitely. The dads felt that they always get a negative press, so they're quite often portrayed as the guy stealing something in EastEnders or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
And quite often young dads are portrayed as teenage dads, whereas there's about 300,000 dads around the UK under the age of 25, but only 10% of those are actually teenage dads. Right. So on the whole, they're generally kind of early 20s rather than teenage.
Right. I mean, just looking on your site, I mean, if you could just sort of explain exactly what the URL is and what the thinking was behind the sort of various videos, because I've been on there myself, and there's lots of very interesting self-help videos, if we say.
I'm glad to hear that, yeah. The website is www.youngdads.tv, and if you want to take a look there, whether you're a young dad or a young at heart dad, what we've got is lots of videos which are made by the young dads themselves. So the young dads said they quite often feel a bit patronised by stuff that's for them already, and also said they didn't really think there was that much stuff for them, and they didn't really like just sitting around and talking about their feelings. So the videos are very much practical and humorous, how to change a nappy, how to make a bolognese, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I saw the how to change a nappy.
What did you think of that one?
Well, I like the way it was delivered in sort of an almost military tone, sort of like, number one, clear the area, clear the area.
Yeah. Or more like number two.
Yeah. And there was some fantastic advice on them. How to get out of the way quickly if the worst
Do not
happens.
Remain in the line of fire because the accidents can happen.
Exactly, yes.
And what sort of, is it aimed at a particular age range or?
Yeah, so it's one of those fairly abstract things, but a young dad is below the age of 25.
Right.
So that includes quite a few different dads. You've mainly got school age dads, you've got dads below the age of 18, and then dads up until the age of 25. So they've all got quite different needs. At the moment, we're kind of hitting the dads below the age of 18, some of the videos, but almost all of them will be relevant to the dads below the age of 25.
Right, excellent. Yeah. And you mentioned there's obviously the nappy changing, the some of the more practical stuff. Do you do other? You mentioned kind of people talking about feelings. Do you do some more kind of?
Yeah, I mean the videos themselves are only the tip of the iceberg. What this is based on is we provide free training and equipment to young dads and groups that already support young dads, so that they can make these videos. So you might see a 2-minute video on how to change a nappy, but that's at the end of an entire day's worth of workshopping with them. So they do get a chance to do that. Quite often, 2 or 3 hours, they'll just be focusing on the equipment and that kind of thing. But a bit of the way in, they'll be talking, they'll be enjoying it and being quite surprised that they're enjoying talking with other dads. So it's a way of bringing them together without telling them they're going to talk about their feelings. But, you know, quite often, if they want to, they will do that anyway.
Yeah.
There's quite a funny clip on there about various outtakes from your attempts to film where some of the dads are just sort of... Well, let's just say sort of laughing it off a little bit.
You get lots of mobile phones going on.
Yeah, yeah, so it's good. So it's a nice and relaxed site as well. And you know, here we are in St Albans in sort of suburbia where a lot of the dads are sort of in their sort of 30s and 40s. It's just really good to see, you know, something there for the younger dads. Now, what were you doing today? Because when we were talking before the show, you were off doing some filming. What was all that about?
Yeah, there's a food cooperative called the People Supermarket in central London that people may have heard of. There was a documentary about it last year because it's quite famous. It's the guy who set up the River Cafe and a woman called Kate Bull, who I've been in contact with, they set it up. And we really like that type of approach where it is very cooperative. That's the nature of our thing. So we were there today filming recipes for young dads. So we're going to edit them and have them up, I think, for Father's Day on how to make bolognese and how to do it with your kids as well is the important thing. So it's active, positive fathering.
Yeah, so very much involving the dads with their with their kids.
Yeah.
Right. I suppose, you know, just before we sort of wind this one up, I mean, could you just remind the listeners how to find out about the site and just when you set it up again and whether it's an ongoing site or whether it's just something you're going to do for a certain period of time?
Well, yeah, the site itself is www.youngdadstv. Take a look if you are a young dad or an older dad, in inverted commas, and there's lots of videos on there. We've got opportunities to do things. We have services for young dads already, but the main focus is the videos made by the young dads, so take a look at those. Also, I would say if you're a group or a young dad interested in making videos yourself, also reach us through the website, because we're all about empowering dads to tell their own stories so that we don't have to tell them for them.
Right, so there's a great opportunity for people to self-promote. Gary, you've got a question as well?
So presumably the details of how to get involved in the programmes and the workshops, that's all on the website as well?
Yeah, the website has got links to our Facebook page and our YouTube page. We've also got a Twitter account, so through any of those you can get in contact with me, essentially. So if people speak to me, I will then speak back to them and we will set something up. So it's very agile group. If somebody rings up, we can generally get something moving as quickly as possible.
Sure. Well, I think a lot of people will be speaking to you, and it's great for you to speak to us. So so thanks, Scott. And
thanks for
join Danny Smith weekdays from 4 to 7 p.m. for West Hearts Drive Time, the stylish way to get home in Hearts. With features including History Focus, a look at the community notice board, local news, weather, the latest travel and traffic, astonishing guests, celebrity birthdays, info bites, and the best music from both today and yesterday. That's West Hearts Drive Time with Danny Smith, exclusively on 92.6 FM Radio Varulam.
we want to know now, we're into a section of the show which is you will, if you win our competition, win a golf free golf four ball courtesy of Simon Feuberg, manager of the Albrookbury golf course. And the competition is, what are the top three dance films ever? Now Gary and I have canvassed widely, heard many nominations, used a highly scientific benchmarking process, developed some complex algorithms, and we hired a several celebrity expert panel to deliberate. But then we just got rid of all that and decided to pick our favourite three, which are The Great Escape, The Magnificent Seven, and The Italian Job. Yes, Gary and I, believe it or not, are the expert panel, and your task is to win this prize, okay? So that, so not only you, but also your three of your mates with you will win this thing. So at the end of the show, we will open a golden envelope held by Gary to reveal the best dad's film ever. easy, calm down. Without giving anything away, Gary, let's talk about the merits of the three films. Now, the first one, as you already will have heard, is The Great Escape. So what can we say about the Great Escape, Gary?
Well, what can't we say about The Great Escape? Star-studded cast, of course. Christmas pudding, Boxing Day. Good chance to have a good 3 hours on the sofa, sleeping away. And the usual Hollywood travesty of suddenly producing three or four American stars to save the good old British from losing the war. But a fantastic film.
I think, I mean, for me, it's all about, the film is all about Donald Pleasance. You know, typical plucky Brit who has just, he's going blind, he, you know, is trying to make out that he's not going blind because he wants to keep his stiff upper lip. And of course, what does he do? He decides to invent a way of persuading people that he's not going blind by putting a pin.
Ah, the pin.
Under the door, the
yes.
Famous pin sketch.
Now, I think, should we reenact it? Because I think
yes,
it would make fantastic radio.
Yes, I think that would make wonderful radio. I would describe this as we're going along.
Right,
We have Christoph Montoya-Timpley, who's going to be our guest in a minute, and he's going to play the part of James Garner. You understand that scene, Christoph?
Yeah, I remember the scene.
Yeah, okay. Right. And now Gary is going to be Donald Pleasance. Up he's getting, okay?
He's take me with you. I can see perfectly.
Right, ready?
Now he's pacing across the room very slowly. Okay, and James Garner.
Shall I stand up and do the body movements as
yes,
well?
Please. Okay. Yes, please. Good, that's good. This is wonderful radio, folks.
Is this a pin I see?
Oh, dear. I'm afraid we've not only lost Donald Pleasance, we've lost Gary, actually. Right.
Oh, I'll never play the violin again.
No, it's a bit of a tragedy, but a wonderful film. I mean, can we work out, and Christoph, you can join us if you want, how many actually do escape in the end?
Not many.
On the spot.
About three or four.
Three. Can you name the three?
Yeah.
Oh, Charles Bronson. Was he one?
Yeah, Danny the Tunnel King.
Yeah. And it was Donald Pleasance and...
No, Donald...
That wasn't it?
No, Donald Pleasance was shot.
Oh, okay, but James Garner? No, he got caught.
Who were the ones who went on the... It just rowed in a boat for ages and just sort of... That was a really simple way to get out.
It was the digger
John
with
Layton.
Someone.
John Layton.
Okay.
Well known, and they got a rowing boat to the Baltic and got on a boat there and went to Sweden.
That's right. I do have to say, though, I do agree with your selection, but every year when we watch The Great Escape, everyone always sits there at the end wishing Steve McQueen makes the jump.
Yeah.
One day he's going to make it. Mm. I have faith. Mm. He's going to get over that fence.
Like alternative ending.
Yes. Yeah. CGI him jumping over.
Director's cut.
And be brilliant.
So the third one who escaped?
How about if he jumps over... Okay, all the barbed wire, and it goes onto the road and gets run over. You know, just...
that's not good!
No, I know, but that's another alternative.
Yes,
Sorry.
But I just want him to make the jump once. So who's the third one?
The third one, James Coburn. Yeah, Sedgwick, the manufacturer.
Right.
Yeah, he's the one, the resistance, he goes over to Spain, doesn't he?
Right. That's right, and he had those really short trousers on, I think, that looked two sizes too small for him when he was walking.
Yeah, and the big teeth, yes, obviously.
What was the bit where there's two guys trying to get on the bus and the German commandant catches them out by saying thank you, and they go, you're welcome.
Yes.
Do you remember that bit?
Yeah, that's Richard Attenborough and Dickie Attenborough and Cowley from The Professionals, Gordon Jackson. Right. Good luck.
Yeah. Thank you.
But having said it's a star-studded cast, and we can name most of them in there probably, Steve McQueen, Richard Attenborough, Charles Bronson, all of those, there's one very, very famous actor that no one ever gets that's in it.
Stunned silence.
Now, no, it's not stunned silence. It's because I had no idea who this was till I saw the paper in front of me. And I'm amazed.
What paper?
Yes.
How very dare you.
There isn't a script here, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm amazed at that. I never knew he was in the film.
So a young, very young, because it was made in 63 and he was born in 42. So he's 21. A young Harrison Ford.
No.
Yes. Plays the young Nazi on the train.
Really?
Yeah, and if you look at his filmography, it does say that he once did something Nazi on a train, which happened to me the other day coming back from St Pancras.
Well, you got stuck on first.
You know, I did clear it up.
Okay.
Yeah, 3 hour stops in tunnels are not the way forward. All of which has allowed me to remember what the next film is, which is the Magnificent Seven.
Oh.
Okay, now, what a classic. Who can remember who the Magnificent Seven? Thank you. That's lovely. Lovely little bit of.
So, should we test Christoph again?
Yes, go on. Right. Okay. Christoph, you're getting more than you bargained for.
Yeah, because everyone, there's always five that people get really easily. So, you've got to get at least five.
I know.
So, go on then.
Well, I'm a fan of the guns of the Magnificent Seven, the fourth one. I'm not really into ones.
That's really good. Okay. That's
I know. I'm just trying to get out of not getting the answers.
So,
Yul Brynner.
Yep. Yeah. No, I'm not showing you the script. No, I'm not showing you the notes now.
One of the survivors from The Great Escape.
Steve McQueen.
No, James Coburn.
James Coburn.
Yeah.
Go on. I've given you Steve McQueen.
No, I'm blank.
Steve McQueen, three. Charles Bronson, another survivor.
Oh, I was going to say that, but I couldn't remember if he was actually in the film or not.
Same director, John Sturges. And who have we got? Oh, Robert Vaughan. Obviously, who's still going at the moment.
How did you forget Robert Vaughan?
Now, those are the five that most people get, but there's two that no one ever gets.
And that is your challenge, listeners.
So if anyone knows the other two Magnificent Seven,
yes,
and it's not Sleepy,
yes, or Dopey, Dozy, or Surly, or Bashful, or Nasty,
or any other... epithets for young Christoph here that we could mention. Right. If you'd like to ring in or text or send us an email and we will give you the see whether you will tell us who the two Magnificent Seven actors are.
I know. Okay.
I'm interested now. I want to know.
Yes, I think we all do. Yeah. And now that's film number two, and film number three is a film that has preoccupied. I mean, Gary and I have watched this many times, and it's a fantastic film starring Michael Caine, and it is, of course, the inimitable Italian Job, and that's right on cue. Is a little bit of music coming to help us on the Italian Job. It's not that latest for younger listeners. It's not that ridiculous imitation of the Italian.
Wahlberg, yeah.
It is the 1960s Michael Caine version with the wonderful Noel Coward as well. What are your memories of that film, Bryce?
Mine's the scene with the bus on the end. It's just the van, and it's a great cinematic moment.
Yeah.
Where the goal was starting to slip.
So the question is, how would you get yourself out of that?
Oh, that's a good question. So I'm in exactly the same scenario. I'm there and the gold is slipping. I would probably push the other people out the van to get the weight back.
Yeah?
Yeah, the money means more to me than friendship. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I would get everyone to... No, you couldn't get out of the van because then it would fall off, wouldn't you? Oh, it's a tricky one. How do they do it then?
Yeah. Could you not? I mean, I know this is Father's Day, but could you not send a small child at the end to sort of bring them back? So?
Not one of my Cub Scouts, by the way. I wouldn't send one of those. No, there isn't a badge for that.
We're coming to that.
Organised crime badge.
Well, no? Maybe.
Now,
yeah.
Now, there is one scene which I think most people will remember. And if I can get the timing right, here we go.
4, 3, 2, 1, go. You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
Isn't that wonderful? I just love that. I never get tired of that every time I hear it. So, ladies and gentlemen, which of the films will win our personal Radio Verulam Father's Day Show Oscar? Which will come second and which will come third? It's time for you to decide between what we just heard, The Italian Job, The Great Escape, and The Magnificent Seven. And you need to, when you choose, match your judgment on the 1, 2, 3 with the contents of our golden envelope in the possession of Mr. Gary Buck, which we will open with a rustle and a drum roll at the end of this show.
Russell's coming in, isn't he?
Yes, Russell is coming in. He might form part of the golf four ball, perhaps. So if you do, you will win said prize, courtesy of our friends at Alwickbury golf course, for which many thanks. So, reminder, if you want to be involved with the quiz, or if you just want to get in touch with your views on what we've just been talking about, or to tell us who those two remaining members of the Magnificent Seven are, then just get phone us on 01727 839 926. Text us on 07903 100 100. And remember, prefix your text message with the letters RV, then a space, and then your message, or email us on the parent show for parents, at gmail.com. Now, as you've gathered, because he's been here for the last 5 minutes in the studio now, is Christoph Montoya-Timperley. Now, Christoph is a very special breed of dad. He comes home at the end of the week, like many dads do, but instead of having a Saturday lion, he puts on a uniform. That uniform is his Super Cub Scout Leader uniform. Christoph, welcome in this official part of capacity of the show to tell us about the Cub Scout movement, and particularly what group you lead and why you got involved in the first place.
Well, first of all, officially, thank you for having me. Well, the first thing I'm going to do is just correct you guys on something. At the beginning of the show, you mentioned the dib, dib, dob, dob. There's probably lots of scout leaders out there who would be shouting at me if I didn't defend our honour. We haven't done that for many years. Some valid reasons why we don't. No. We still say do your best, but we don't say dib, dib, dob, dob.
Well, we stand corrected.
I know.
Yes.
Okay. So I... Why... Oh, lots of questions there you gave me. Let's do the first one. Why did I get involved? I have been involved in scouting for about a year and a half now, but when I was young, I did join a cub group. However, it didn't last long because it got closed down. And it got closed down because they didn't have enough leaders to run it. So I think that's always stuck with me, and I've always maybe emotionally scarred. I don't know. But a few years ago, I wanted to get involved. My eldest son was joining Cubs, and I'd always wanted to try and support it and be a leader. And it sounded like fun as well. But normally, most Cub groups are meeting midweek on a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Thursday, and my work didn't allow me to do that. So mm-hmm. It was a lot of travelling. And then our district leader was suggesting, our group leader was saying they wanted to try and open Saturday packs, which initially met with lots of, it won't work, it's not going to be possible, no one will be joining. And I thought, no, yeah, we can make this work. And I know if people want to go, they're going to want to sign up. So I volunteered to be one of the leaders for the Cubs, and I have never looked back. It's the third St. Albans Scout Group, and we are just off Waverley Road, near sort of opposite the hospital down there.
That probably comes in handy occasionally, doesn't it?
we are qualified first aiders, though, so we can handle ourselves, and if not, some of the scouts will have their first aid badge. They should be able to handle it as well. Yeah. But, yeah, I've absolutely having a great time. I'm loving it.
I mean, you'll know, Christoph, and I should let the listener into a little secret here, in that the two of my boys are in Christoph's Cubs group at the moment, is that there seems to be a badge for everything these days. I mean, the arms just aren't long enough.
I know. There are lots of badges, and every 6 months or so, the Scout Association actually like to review and get recommendations for any badges that people want to actually achieve. So they do review the amount of badges, and sometimes they take some badges away or change them. But that's the great thing. There is badges for everything. There's badges for hobby collecting. There's sports enthusiasts. There's book reader. There's navigation. It's just brilliant. There's so much they can do.
It's absolutely wonderful. I mean, I've noticed though that the Cub Pack is expanding somewhat, and there don't seem to be quite enough leaders to go around. Is this a bit of a problem? I mean, maybe we could put out a little bit of a call to would-be Cub leader fathers and mothers, of course, out there who might be thinking of joining. What should they do, and what are the pros and cons?
Pros and cons. Well, the first thing is, yeah, the Cub group, the Beaver groups, and the Scout troops. They're all growing. St Albans has the largest waiting list in Hertfordshire. So there's a lot of young children out there who want to join the movement. And we want them to join. But as you rightly said, we have to have enough leaders in place to be able to support that. So we're always, always on the lookout for mums, dads, even people who just want to come and help out to help run the pack and the troops. It doesn't mean you have to give 5 hours a week. Sometimes we're just literally looking for an hour and a half a week to come along, support us, and I guarantee you'll have a good time. I have done so much since I've joined the movement and had such a good fun time.
Well, it's great to hear what you're saying, Christoph, on that. And of course, at the moment, I mean, in terms of if somebody wants to phone up now and get involved, should they do that through phoning Radio Verum, or have you got a direct number that people could get hold of you or someone else in the local Cub movement?
Well, they could contact us via the website. We actually do have a Third St Albans website, and which is www.thirdstalbans.org.uk. Or if you just put Third St Albans into Google, it will come up straight away. And on there's a contact us page, and fill in your details, get in touch, and we'll get back to you.
Right, okay. So the Cubs need more dads, and dads, go on, get off your backsides and do something about it. And get hold of Christoph or anybody else in the local Cub movement.
Hi there, Loyal Radio Verulam listeners. It's Johnny Seabrook here to remind you that the Radio Verulam Sunday Lunchtime Show is on the air at midday every single Sunday. Informative guests such as Mr. D the Number Man and DIY Rob will be here just for you. We've got great music, teasing contests like the West Hearts Question and the Who Am I Guessing Game. Local chat and the ingredient of the week. It's all here for your pleasure every Sunday from midday on 92.6 FM, Radio Verulam. Let it be your perfect accompaniment to your Sunday lunch.
Just before we go into the sort of what's on around St Albans on this magical Father's Day that will come on Sunday, we've got a few emails that have come in. One from someone called Smudger. Will you remember us when you are famous? No, Smudger, we probably won't remember you when we're famous, will we, Gary?
Who was it?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I've forgotten about him already. Then also someone saying, if you do shout-outs, can you do one for the Seymour Road Massive, the Waverley Road Runners and the Toolman Drive crew? That's done for you. And someone else saying, loving the show, boys. Snorb's answered to Smashy and Nicey. They are a great mate for saying that. Now, on the line, we have Andrew Goodman. Now, Andrew Goodman is the organiser of the Classic Car Show at Nebworth, which is going to be on this Sunday. Hello, Andrew.
Hello.
Hi. Let's just get straight into it. What's going to happen? And how can people get tickets? And what's on display?
Right. Well, we've been doing this show, for about 10 years, I suppose, at Nebworth on Father's Day, and it's basically a show of two parts. We've got about maybe 300 or 400 classic cars. 396 classic cars of all sort of makes and models, Jaguars, MGs, Triumphs, Rolls-Royce, all the lot. That's on one half of the field. On the other half of the field, for the first time this year, we used to run a separate classic bike show on the 5th of June or the 6th, around the first weekend in June, and we've put the two together this time, so it should be quite a large event. So there'll be lots of old bikes there, things like, Norton's, BSA's, Triumphs, Harley-Davidson's, and there you go. We've got an arena in the middle, and we sort of judge all the cars in their different sections, have car of the show and bike of the show, a few trade stands and that sort of thing. Plus, of course, everything that's at Nebworth anyway, which is a really family-friendly place. You know, with the Fort Medworth for all the kids and the dinosaur trail, the gardens, the house and everything like that. You know?
Great.
Yeah, sounds great. What so what is the age criteria for a classic car?
Well, we use what the insurance companies use, which is 15 years. For example, I drive around in a 1998 Daimler 3.6. That's my everyday transport. You just don't see them. It's very rare I see another one. So I suppose the definition is, when so many have been scrapped, that when you see one, you think, oh, I haven't seen one of those for ages.
Right, so you have an age criteria, but also you know, kind of just special cars that are not around for a while.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Is there an age criteria for people who are going to it? Is it something that sort of people, gentlemen of a certain age might go to?
No, not at all. I mean, with the bikes, we get a lot of, you know, the bikers go right across the spectrum, so we have a lot of young lads and young clubs that, you know, clubs with younger members that come. A Stevenage Motorcycle Club always come as a group. And so it goes from 2 to 92.
Right, that's fantastic. So, quickly then, I mean, have you got a sort of a website you can give us for people to find out more information?
Yeah, our website is www.classicshows.org. And the thing about this event, and indeed most events at Nebworth, but not exclusively all events at Nebworth, is that you just pay the normal Nebworth Park admission price, which you would pay on a wet Tuesday afternoon in August when there was nothing there at all. And so you essentially get the show for free.
Right, okay. Do you run a lot of these shows around the country?
Yeah, next year we're starting on the 2nd of January and working through to the end of November.
Yeah.
Sort of every other weekend, really, I suppose. We do about between 25 and 30 shows a year, depending on how the calendar falls. In the summer, we tend to go to stately homes like Nebworth and Blenheim and places like that. And in the winter, we do the agricultural showgrounds, you know, places that have got indoor facilities. We do the biggest custom bike show in the UK, which is at Alexandra Palace each February, and that's a really good event. Yeah.
Presumably, do you just drive these classic cars between the various shows then? I mean, do they?
It isn't me that drives them.
No, it might take rather a long time. You just have to keep going backwards and forwards all the time.
Well, the following weekend, we're at Preston in Lancashire.
Right.
So I don't know how far there is between the two, 200 miles maybe, I measured it. But I wouldn't think that there will be anybody on the field in Nebworth that will be at Preston the following week, other than my team and myself.
Yeah.
And basically we sort of just go round, it's a very simple concept, and, you know, when we do a show in Surrey people come, when we do a show in Malvern, people from Worcestershire and Gloucestershire and Herefordshire come, you know.
Okay, that's brilliant. Okay, Andrew, thank you very much for your time, and I'm sure that a number of dads will be looking forward to the classic car show in Nebworth on Sunday.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Hello, I'm Bob Golding, the voice of Milo from Tweenies, and you're listening to The Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. It's for anyone who cares for kids.
Fabaroni! I'm just wondering, actually, before we move on, is there an age criteria for the wife to be classified officially as an old banger? Because mine's certainly been around before 96.
Well,
and probably not for much longer now.
The bad news for you, Dr. Buck, is that I think she, although she's in Spain and you thought you were safe, she's actually listening into this show by the internet right at this moment. So I dare say there'll be hell to pay at the weekend on that one. Thank you to Bob for his little intervention just then with his jingle. We have with us the one and the only Claire Healy from St Albans' very own Raring to Go. Claire, you always tell us about what's on at the weekend, but this is a very special weekend.
It's
indeed. I just need you to understand that. So what would you say to all the dads and the mums and the kids under pressure, those people, as to what to do for their dads this weekend?
Okay, well, all the dads, apart from Gary, who's not very nice at this stage. I've really gone off him. I've met him for 2 minutes and really gone off him now. the St Albans Festival is happening. It's just starting this week, or this weekend. It goes on for 2 weeks, and it's it's got lots and lots of free things going on, actually. It's this weekend particularly is the really big, they launch it all. And in Verulamium Park at 10:30 on Saturday morning, they start the procession, which has got, they've got all these huge, great puppety kind of things. And it's all to do with celebrating the last steps of St. Alban, where he went. He started down at Verulamium Park and went up to the cathedral where he was executed, sadly, but this is the start of the festival. Then goes on to the Roman Quest, which is taking place in the Abbey Orchard, which is just next to the Abbey. I don't know if you've been to the Abbey Orchard. Just
it's lovely in there, isn't it?
It's very easy to find. You'll follow the noise. That's going on from 11:30 till 3:30. Fun and games, they're doing all sorts of things, and you'll probably see it on the front page of the advertiser. It's the wraparound on the advertiser. There's lots of information. They've got a Roman arch, you can find Roman treasure, they've got chariot racing, they've got all sorts of fun stuff. So it's great for, you know, kids of all sorts of ages, really. It's free, which is brilliant. There may be some charges, but most of it's free. They've also got music, dance, theatre, food, children's activities, craft activities, all sorts of things going on down in the park from 1 o'clock. And then in the evening, they've got a spectacular finale, which is The Bell by Periplum, which I've actually Googled, because The Bell is... It's a pyrotechnic, is that right? Pyrotechnic?
Yep.
Fire-based play, I guess. It's okay. A 45-minute performance, and it's recommended for ages 8+, and it sounds fantastic. It starts at 9 o'clock, so it's all going to be fire and you know, dramatic stuff. And it's based on the story of the warring clans that were invading at that time. So that sounds fantastic, and that is all free on Saturday,
right.
Completely free.
And where do you say that was?
That's down at Verulamium Park.
Right.
So free entry, just go along. You don't have to book nothing. It sounds like it's going to be fantastic. It's got all sorts of things going down in the park down there. They've got a 50-foot whale. Not quite sure where that's coming from, and I'm not quite sure where it's going to be, but I think it's worth going down to see. It's Circo Rumbaba, who will be inside the whale.
Right.
I don't know. They've also got a local...
You're just making this up. A seaside
themed craft. I'm going to have to go down and check that all this is right. Seaside themed craft tent down there in the afternoon. They've got story tent, they've got workshops, they've got lots and lots of things going on. They've got things on performances on the main stage as well. So it sounds like that's going to be a fantastic day, and because it's all free, make the most of it, and it's all celebrating St. Alban, so, which is what we're all about, aren't we, here?
Yeah.
If you don't fancy that, you could go along to Waterstones, and they've got Beatrix Potter Day on Saturday between 11 and 2:30, and they've got storytelling at 11 and 2, Beatrix Potter's stories. They have a resident sort of storyteller who comes in, and they do activities for little ones as well. So quite a busy weekend. Now, the festival goes on throughout the week. They've also, excuse me scrunching the newspaper, but it was a very, very good reference point. They've also got on Saturday night at the Sandpit Theatre, again part of the festival, Seussical the Musical, which is done by Spotlight Youth Theatre. I assume they're still taking bookings for that. There you need to ring the Sandpit Theatre to book for that. And then the festival continues. There are mainly adult things throughout the week, and I will update you on Thursday about what's happening next weekend, because next weekend's quite big with the larks in the parks and all sorts of fun stuff going on. So that's about it.
Great.
And, of course, there's something happening on Sunday, isn't there? Nothing much, but something.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm scratching my head on that one. is there a Grand Prix on or something?
Well, it's been cancelled due to lack of interest.
Clearly. Yeah,
fantastic.
Yes, right. Well, thank you very much, Claire.
It's been
wonderful to have you on. Now, I'm not saying you're not the most important part of this show, Claire, but we're just coming to that now, because
it
now is the moment of truth. It's time for the dramatic opening of the Golden Envelope.
I have it in my hand.
Yes, in fact, the Golden Envelope is probably, given the price of gold these days, is probably worth more than the actual prize itself. We seem to be having a number of entries that are coming in, almost all of them are wrong, and I just want to sort of go through. Remember the three films that we had were Gary?
The Great Escape. Nice test match special moment there, thank you.
Yes.
The Great Escape, The Magnificent Seven, and The Italian Job, in no order.
In no particular order. That does not reflect any sort of particular bias. And we have got some wrong answers. Richard Dorset rang in and suggested that the order of films, Great Escape number one, Italian Job number two, Magnificent Seven. Well, you're entitled to your opinion, Richard, but I'm afraid that's not right. But we think that we may have a correct answer from Christopher Foster. Now, we haven't told you what the answer is yet, of course. So, in reverse order, I can tell the tension is unbearable. In third place is Gary.
Well, it's a bit of a shock, a bit of a surprise to me, but in third place is The Magnificent Seven.
Goodness me, I thought that would have come higher.
Now, do you want me to quickly give the answers to the two missing Magnificent Seven?
Yes, please do, yes.
The ones that most people forget are Brad Dexter, who played Harry, and Horst Buchholz, the well-known German actor, who played a Mexican.
Horst, I mean, how could any of us forget Horst? Now, second place?
Second place. Oh, tension's building now, isn't it? Second place is The Great Escape.
And that means that the
one that... Claire's more excited than we are.
That's my favourite.
The one that has come first, and with the news that the winner is obviously The Italian Job.
Hooray!
Okay, and we will play you out with the Self-Preservation Society in a few moments. But just to let you know that this has been a Meriden Buck production for Radio Verulam. Good night from me, Trevor Meriden.
And good night from Trevor.
Thank you. And we hope you enjoyed listening to the show as much as we enjoyed putting it together. And we wish you a very happy Father's Day. Please join Lydia and Kathy next week when some sort of sanity will be restored to proceedings.